Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, and now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading.
Morning, everybody. Happy Sabbath. Before I start, I'm going to say a prayer. So I ask that you would bow your heads with me, please. Most gracious and kind Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for allowing us this opportunity, this blessed Sabbath day, to be here, O Lord. I ask that you be with our minds and our hearts and help us to understand what it is that you want us to do, Father. May your will abide in us. And in your presence, Father, is where we need to be. I thank you once again for all that you've done. In your holy name I pray. Amen. So everybody knows what today is, right? What holiday the world celebrates today, right? Yes, today is Halloween. The name of my sermon is called A Trick That Has a Treat for Us. So I just want to start and... For those who do not know me, again, my name is Brother Alex Andrews. I'm from the Friendship Seventh-day Adventist Church in on Lackawanna Avenue. I'm originally from Manhattan or Harlem, New York. Throughout my years of growing up, I've had some vivid memories of Halloween. I wouldn't say I necessarily celebrated Halloween. I never wore costumes. I never went trick-or-treating and stuff like that. But I was always into scary movies and the candies that my brothers and the rest of my friends would come in when they would come to my house, and I would be interested in, you know, I'd be sitting in front of the TV watching the scary movies and eating candy with them. But as I got older into my teens, I came around some friends that, you know, were real close friends to me. And we made it a custom that we would get the scariest movies we can get and sit there, and like I did when I was younger, we would get the candy or whatever we wanted, get the real scary movies and sit down and watch them and scare the life out of ourselves. Remember I said I have vivid memories of Halloween, and there's one memory that I can never forget. I had a good friend. His name was George Vargas. He was of Mexican descent. Well, he and his family, one weekend during early October, went to Mexico. And when they went to Mexico, they stayed for 2 to 3 weeks. And I remember when he came back to New York City, where we lived, he said, I said, you know, so how was your trip to Mexico? And he goes, man, Al, I got to tell you something. And I said, you know, what does he have to tell me? And I said, you know, well, what's wrong? He said, man, what I saw messed up my mind. It freaked me out. And I was thinking to myself, well, you know, since I've known him, he's traveled back and forth to Mexico, you know, all the time, since his whole life that I've known him. So I thought to myself, you know, what could have freaked him out? So, in my mind, I didn't even realize that Halloween had passed because he had been there for 2 to 3 weeks. So I didn't even realize Halloween had passed. So I just pondered in my mind for a little while, and I said, you know, I'll just wait till I meet up with him to find out what happened. So I take a shower, I get dressed, and I walk the 10 to 15 blocks to his house. I ring his doorbell, you know, and I'm waiting for him to come out. He comes out in his T-shirt, his jeans, and his sneakers, and you can tell that he's still not even really unpacked yet. And so, and I go, I didn't even say hello to him. I just walked up to him. I said, you know, what happened? Because it took a lot. Because like I told you, we would watch scary movies, and nothing really fazed us. So we would watch scary movies and things like that. So, and I go, George, you know, what happened? And he goes, well, You know how we celebrate Halloween here in the United States. You know, we dress up in costumes, we eat candy, and, you know, children go around trick-or-treating. I said, yeah. He said, well, in Mexico, they celebrate it totally differently than we do. And I'm thinking to myself, well, how do they celebrate Halloween more differently than we do? Halloween is only celebrated one way, right? Children go out in costumes and eat candy, and they go around saying trick or treat. He goes, well, no, they don't do that there. He tells me on the night of October 31st, before the sunset or right before sunset, there will be a group of people who will come around the houses asking for offerings or animals. And later he found out that they were for sacrifices. And as I did my research, I'm not saying that I didn't believe him, but as I did my research today, I've found those facts that he told me from back then hold true to this day. And here's some of them. In Mexico, where he's from, they celebrate El Día de los Muertos. It's better known in English as the Day of the Dead, starting on the evening of October 31st. The colors for Halloween are orange, which represent harvest. There's another color, black, which represents death. Halloween has many different names, such as All Hallows Eve, Samhain, and the Feast of the Dead, and as well as the Day of the Dead. November 1st is known as All Saints' Day, in dedication to those saints who didn't have their own particular special day. And on this day, they performed the mass called All Hallows Mass. The night before is known as All Hallows Eve, but when it was introduced to the United States or America, our country, it became the holiday as we know it today, Halloween. When the Romans conquered England, they merged Samhain with their own festivals, okay? A feast harvest called Paloma, and a celebration for the dead called Feralia. Halloween has been celebrated for over 2,000 years, dating back to the time of the Celts. Halloween has been passed down and taught to us as a meaningless and harmless holiday. I plan to show you today that Halloween has a very satanic undercurrent with rituals and ceremonies that go on in this day and has no place in our homes and should not be portrayed as just innocent fun for us as adults or children. God has given a strict command in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Test all things, hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Every year today, on October 31st, millions of people, primarily in England and America, celebrate Halloween by dressing up as witches, devils, and demons. Besides parties for adults, the day has become an occasion for children to go from house to house, often in costumes demanding trick or treat. Keep that in mind. Pay attention to the phrase trick or treat. To perform a trick to perform a trick or give me a treat. Anyone who does magic before your eyes, as we know, is not of God. During this time of year, since 1965, it's a function called the United Nations Children's Fund, better known as UNICEF, which collects money on this very day for children of Halloween. The name of Halloween derives from the Roman Catholic holiday All Saints Day or All Hallows Day, celebrated on November 1st. All Saints Day commemorates particularly all the saints who have not been assigned a special day in the Roman Catholic Church calendar. The day before All Saints Day was called All Hallows Eve, which is Halloween. The origin of Halloween. Halloween goes back to a festival of Druids ordered by pagan priests in ancient Gaul and Britain in pre-Christian times. In ancient Britain and Ireland, the Celtic festival of Samhain was observed on October 31st. This date was also the eve of the new year, in both Celtic and Anglo-Saxon time. The occasion consisted of ancient fire festivals when huge bonfires were set up on hilltops to frighten away evil spirits. It was to be on this day that the souls of the dead were supposed to revisit their homes. And the festival acquired sinister significance, with ghosts, witches, goblins, and black cats that were used to protect witches in their magic. The festival also featured fairies as well as demons of all kinds said to be roaming about. Now, I know I just told you that those were pre-Christian times, but I know from today, when I read my Bible, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, it says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. And they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hatred, their envy have already perished. Neither have they any more share in anything that is done under the sun." Remember, we're talking about pre-Christian times. Everyone went along with the customs that were believed. Halloween was thought to be most favorable time for divination, in which it concerned marriage and luck, health and death. It was the only day in which they used the help of the devil for their such purpose. The Celtic festival of Samhain signaled commemorance of the winter, the eve of the feast of the day itself, which is October 31st and November 1st. The festival remained popular among the Celtics even when Christianization was in Great Britain in the 5th century. The Christian church in Britain adapted the feast of Samhain by adding the celebration of All Saints' Day to the Christian festival. Before then, the festival used to take place on May 13th, but I'm going to get back to that. The British custom was to celebrate All Saints' Day on November 1st. So what happened was Pope Gregory IV, they used to have a celebration in May, but to satisfy the British, they changed it from May 13th to November 1st. When they changed it to November 1st, it made provisions for the pilgrims who were coming in May. That's why they moved it. There were pilgrims coming in May, and they were messing with their business and whatever they needed to do. So they said, okay, we're going to go along with what the British believe, and we're going to move this day to November 1st with All Saints' Day. The November feast originated in Gaul and was immediately adopted in Rome. So you follow me? The tradition from Britain to Rome was being transferred. And if you look on the history, it transferred to us too. So this tradition is being passed on like the game, hot potatoes. One person's passing it from one person to one person to one person, and everyone is following this. The custom of Samhain survived in the Celtic areas of Great Britain, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. In time, they lost most of their religious significance, and the Eve of Hallows became a secular festival. The activities remained popular practice, though. Adults dressed in fantastic disguises and masks, imitated supernatural beings, and visited homes where occupants would offer tribute to their food and to them. So the scenario in Rome is, as I just said, Rome picked up the British ways, and they went along with it. Now here comes the scary part. A quote from a Wicca. A Wiccan is someone who has no reverence or respect or anything or any, no respect towards God. Here's his quote. He says, "This is a celebration of evil. Halloween is a religious day, but it is not Christian." Tom Sangwit, a former high priest in Wicca, continues on saying, "The modern holiday that we call Halloween has its origin in the full moon closest to November 1st. It is the witch's new year. It is a time when the spirits or demons are supposed to be at their peak power and roaming through earth. Halloween is purely and absolutely evil, and there is nothing we have or will do that will make it acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ." Irish and Scottish immigrants introduced All Hallows' Eve observances to America. And after the massive immigration of the Irish to the United States, after the potato famine, Halloween became a national festival. The custom for children to go trick-or-treating, remember I said I would come back to this. The custom for children to go trick-or-treating from door to door also goes back to the ancient Druids. They would go from door to door or house to house demanding food for their consumption and for offerings to their deities. The offering that the Druids asked for were fatted calves, black sheep, and human beings. If the village would not provide them with whatever they asked for, they would speak a demonic curse over their home. And history claims that someone in their family would die within a year. But if the village gave, if they gave an offering, they were promised prosperity. And that's the origin of trick-or-treat. And a lot of us don't know that. On Halloween, for thousands of years, Druid priests conducted sacrificial ceremonies in which cats, horses, sheep, and human beings were rounded up, stuffed in cages, and burnt to death for offerings. And this was done to appease Samhain and to keep the spirits from harming them. The Druids would carry with them a large turnip. Now, I don't know if too many of us know what a turnip is. I had to actually look it up myself. But it kind of wants to look like a tomato, but it's longer. And what they would do is they would get their utensil and they would carve out a face in the turnip. And they would carve out the turnip with a face, and that represented the demonic spirit that they depended on for their power and knowledge. The turnip lit by a candle from within was used as a light as the Druids went from house to house in the nighttime. When this custom was introduced to America, turnips weren't popular. Like people weren't accepting to them. So people said, okay, well, we'll change it to the pumpkin. And that's more suitable and more fun to cut out. The name given to which the spirit inhabited in the turnip was called Jock, which was changed here in America to Jack, who lives in the lantern. And that's how you get jack-o'-lantern. Druid priests used these turnips or pumpkins, which were lit from the inside, to signify those who supported them. They would place them on the doorsteps of their houses or in their yards. Though by appearance a lit jack-o'-lantern seems harmless, it signifies an ancient symbol, and that is of a condemned soul. Halloween has strong roots in paganism and witchcraft. It began as the Druid festival to Samhain and to the Celts, who from October 31st to November 1st considered this day the day of death. Halloween and its customs have no root in scripture or in a Christian church. They are firmly rooted in the occult and in pagan practices. These connections, however, are today forgotten or made light of. Nevertheless, the practice derived from the occult, it is incompatible with the teachings of Scripture. And now we're going to get into Scripture. Leviticus 20, verse 6 says, "The person who turns to those who have familiar spirits into wizards, playing the harlot after them, I will set my face against that person, and I will cut him off from among his people. Since many people no longer believe that there's the existence of a personal devil, they feel that there's no harm in making fun of these past religious relics. Our children are being taught that there is no such beings as witches and evil spirits, and that it's okay for them to dress up like ghosts and goblins. The modern denial of the existence of Satan and his demonic forces are clearly contrary to Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible affirms the existence of Satan and the demonic spirits or beings that follow him. In the education of our children, it is important that we do not plant false ideas in their minds. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he or she is old, he will not depart from it. To teach them that there is no harm in imitating evil spirits is contrary to God's will. God in the Old Testament warns Israel not to dabble into the occult. Deuteronomy 18:10-12 says, "There shall not be found among you who practices fortune telling or sorcery, or allowed to interpret omens, or engage in witchcraft or cast spells, or function as mediums or psychics, or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does this is an object of horror and a disgust to the Lord." Since the occult is today more active than ever, this counsel is still valid today. Participation in Halloween costumes may seem like innocent fun for children and adults, but it is one more way Satan can use Halloween to deceive people into thinking there is no harm in playing a little bit with the world of spirits and demons. While Ellen G. White never mentions Halloween, she warns against dabbling in spiritualism too. Spiritualists make the path to hell most attractive. Spirits of darkness are clothed by the deceptive teachers in pure robes of heaven, and they have the power to deceive those not fortified with the Bible truth. There are many who shrink with horror from the thought of consulting spirits, but who are attracted by more pleasing forms of spirits. Meaning, if you know how in movies or however Satan is depicted to the world, you know, he's this big, ugly red thing with horns and all kinds of imaginary things that people put him as. Right? That's how the world makes him to be. So the quote is saying, if he came to you like that, of course you would find the nearest exit and run out the room. Right? But if he comes to you in the form of, oh, you know, we're going to play a little trick. We're going to put on a costume. We're going to go, you know, houses to houses saying, you know, trick-or-treating, Halloween, getting candy, you know, being dressed up as a monster. You know, this, it's just for today. It's no big deal. You know, nobody's really paying attention. And that's what he leads them to believe, that there's no harm in dressing up like that for one day or for a few hours or however long they do it. While people and animals were screaming in agony, being burnt to death, the Druids and their followers were dressed in costumes made of animal skins and heads. They would dance, chant, and jump through the flames in the hope of warding off evil spirits. And God has a response for us. When you come into that land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abomination of those nations. Our Father in John chapter 1 verse 11 says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does well is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." Ephesians 5:11 says, "He have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." James 4:7 says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, "You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and then the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons." 2 Corinthians 6:14-17 says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God, with iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and Belial, the devil? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? What agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, even as God said, 'I will dwell in and with and among them, and will walk with them, and they will be my people.' So come out from among and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor." So my question to you today is, yes, we're all in church, and we all don't believe in practicing or following Halloween, But we have family members that may be here, they may be somewhere else, you know, and they may celebrate Halloween or may think what everybody else thinks. You know, there's no real harm in getting candy and saying trick or treat and going from house to house with their parents and family just to get some candy and dress up in a costume for a little while. And our job is to tell them that it's wrong. It's to tell them would God be pleased with how they're acting or with what they're doing. So I say this, take a stand against Halloween by mobilizing your family and engaging in spiritual warfare with earnest prayer and sharing the gospel with those who might not know the truth about this occulted day. Seventh-day Adventists recognize that spiritualism has many faces. Some of them may seem harmless and even fun. Nevertheless, they lead children and adults away from God's truth. It will also keep them further entangled with the occult. Therefore, we do not recommend participation in the celebration and festivals in connection with Halloween. Finally, my brethren, stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication for all saints. Instead of participating and walking with wickeds and celebrating this Halloween day and celebrating cruelty and dabbling into the day of death, we should focus our family and congregation on celebrating not Halloween, but a Reformation Day today, this October 31st. Do not participate in the things that these people do. For though your hearts were once full of darkness, now you are full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. For this light within you perceives only what is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. I ask you today to take heed to God's word and have your eyes prepared to discern all sin and unrighteousness. Children and adults, this evening will come to your door. They will come knocking, and they will say those famous words, trick or treat. Well, I encourage you that when they come there with their mom and their dad or by themselves, that you stop and explain to them briefly whatever it is you took from today. Whatever you remember, you take from today and you tell them. You know, whatever you remember about the Druid priests who carried turnips, and then they changed it over here in America. About Jock to Jack in the lantern and what that represents, tell them. Because if my friend wouldn't have told me about what happened in Mexico, I wouldn't probably think there was nothing wrong with it either. But then I'm here now. You know, I know the truth now. But without that information, you know, what would I have thought today? You know? And it shocked me to know. It shocked me because, like I said in the beginning, I didn't think people celebrated Halloween differently than they did in Mexico. You know, I'm not saying that I celebrate Halloween. I never really did, like I said. And I don't celebrate it now because I'm you know, I know the truth. But the thing is, now we have, maybe we all know it in here, but who knows it out there? You know, who can we tell? I know people right now, you know, who celebrate Halloween, and they need to, you know, we need to encourage them and say, you know, this is what the ritual of this day is about. You may think it's about candy and dressing up in costumes, but it's way deeper. It's way deeper than that. So I ask that today that you tell somebody whatever you learned today, whatever you've taken from what I've said to you today. They may not get it at first, but when you plant the seed, God will let it grow. As well, we need to tell others, our older friends, besides children, our older friends, you know, that may be entangled in this holiday, and teach them from what was told to your heart today. And may God bless you and have a happy Sabbath. Amen. Be with us on this blessed Sabbath day. And let your Sabbath day, Father, shine brighter than any pagan holiday that is today, Father. Be with us and help us, Father, to understand and to teach as we have been commanded in Matthew, to teach the world of you, Father, and not of these occults, Father. Please be with us, be with our hearts and our minds, be with our families, and be with our loved ones, Father. Be with those who don't know you, Father. Please bless us and guide us, and thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.